Every day, children fall victims to abuse, violence, and exploitation, experiencing physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Some find themselves at the mercy of human traffickers who enslave them into a world of prostitution, domestic servitude, and bonded labor. On Breakout with BD on the BBS radio station 1, hosted by Demi Nelson, illuminates the clandestine world of child abuse and human trafficking, breaking the silence and becoming a voice to the millions of voiceless children in the world today.
Hello everyone, you're welcome to another edition of Breakout with BD, a variety talk show that is focused on engendering an abuse and violence-free world for children. My name is BDemi Nelson, and together you and I will be making the world a safer place for children with our appropriate responses to the menace of child abuse. On today's show, we will be looking at a topic I call the new face of pedophilia. And something comes to my mind each time I think about this show. It's basically useless for me to broadcast to you every week if I don't bring to you the reality of things that are facing our children every day. As a result of a conference that was held on August 17th in Baltimore, Maryland, there was a pro-pedophile group that were agitating and asking for the tolerance, acceptance, and sympathy for people who they call minor attracted persons. Now, for those of you that don't know the meaning of a pedophile is a person who practices pedophilia, and this person must be at least 16 years old who is sexually attracted to prepubescent children, that is, children who haven't attained the age of puberty and has either engaged in sexual activity with a child or feels distressed by the feelings of attraction. Now, I talked about the conference that was held on August 17th in Baltimore, Maryland, and it's important that we know the organization behind this conference. This organization is called Before You Act. And I took a particular interest in the contents of discussion at the conference because I keep saying that if anything is in the best interest of a child, you'll find it right here. And it will be catastrophic if such a thing goes on and I'm unable to intimate you with the developments going on around us. The Before You Act organization is a pro-pedophile group of psychiatrists, other mental health professionals, and sympathetic activists. One of the objectives of the group is the removal of pedophilia from the American Psychiatric Association's Bible of Mental Illnesses, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, popularly called DSM, is set to undergo a significant revision by the year 2013. And the implication of the removal of pedophilia from the list of mental illnesses can also mean the decriminalization of it. This group has been very active in countering the American Psychiatric Association's definition of pedophiles, which they have subtly renamed as minor attracted persons. They say the APA's, and when I say APA, I'm talking about the American Psychiatric Association. They say the APA's description of these people is inaccurate and misleading. And you want to know why? They say because the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual on Mental Disorders, links pedophilia with criminality. And they believe that pedophilia has so long been linked with criminality based on the data of sex offenders in prison, which is non-inclusive of minor attracted persons who are law-abiding. And to put it in another way, minor attracted persons who are or who have not acted on their instincts or who have not acted on their feelings of emotion and sexual attraction to children. Now, this organization is out to help minor attracted persons or pedophiles through the removal of the stigma attached to it. They also would love to stop the demonization of pedophilia, stopping the hate and the contempt towards minor attracted persons, because they feel is unproductive, especially when it comes to protecting the children. They believe when you tag a pedophile or a minor attracted person as a predator or a pervert, does not in any way help in protecting your child from sexual abuse. They are also soliciting for sympathy or compassion and tolerance from the society, and they want the society, and especially activists, people who are actively saying that sexual abuse against children should be stopped, they would want these people, people like me as well, to learn more about the facts concerning minor attracted people. This organization also condemns the current societal perception of pedophilia that addresses it more from the side of criminal justice solutions than the side of mental health solutions. One of the speakers at the conference, Fred Berlin from Johns Hopkins University, he stated that he is not in support of the decriminalization of pedophilia, but is of the opinion that the society's interest can best be served by supporting both criminal justice interventions and public health initiatives. So this man is of the opinion that while we are so quick to put pedophiles or sex offenders behind bars, we should as well be quick to get them into a mental institution where they can get help. Now, the APA spokesperson has said that the APA has or will not participate in the conference, and did not participate in the conference anyway, and also declined to comment on it. So the American Psychiatric Association has decided not to be a party to this conference and would not say anything about it. Now, my question to them is, my question to all of us now is, should this be so? In the light of numerous questions, confusion, and mind conditioning that this conference has brought about, should the American Psychiatric Association keep silent about it? And why I really was worried when I got news of this event was, I wasn't just thinking about America here. You know, America is more like a world leader. And for many of the things that go on in America, there is a tendency for it to be replicated in many parts of the world. If this conference, if their views and if the things they are agitating for are seriously being considered, then a lot of things are about to change in our society. And a lot of things are about to change when it comes to safeguarding our children. Now, when I looked at the things they talked about in the conference, it incited me to find out more about the organization. And I've told you that it's an organization that is a pro-pedophile organization. They want to end stigmatization. They want to increase tolerance, compassion, and sympathy for minor attracted persons or pedophiles in our society. Now, I wanted to invite a representative of this organization on my show, but I was unable to do that. Nonetheless, I did get an email from them, which I will be reading to you after this break. Do not go anywhere. Welcome back. I said before we went on break that I was going to read you an email I got from one of the representatives of the group called Before You Act. And they told me that they had no one available for a live interview, you know, on the show, but they would like to provide me with the following information. And summarily, this group is an organization that promotes communication and collaboration among mental health professionals, researchers, and people who are emotionally and sexually attracted to children or adolescents. They intend to do this through workshops, symposiums, and talks to university classes. They want to increase understanding and reduce fear. They seek to make minor attracted people visible rather than hidden, since visibility will be beneficial to children, the minor attracted people as well, and the society as a whole. People who are attracted to minors have not chosen to have these feelings and attractions to children, and these feelings become apparent at puberty. They say that they have received emails from young teenagers who were engaged in self-harming behavior or threatening suicide and could talk to no one about it because they were attracted to younger children. One 15-year-old boy wrote, "I guess I always had feelings for younger boys. The guilt has led me to self-mutilation, but I haven't caught in 5 months, which is something I'm proud of. I hate myself so much at times, and I feel ashamed and dirty. I don't know how much longer I can put up with this. Most people probably know or care about someone who is attracted to children or adolescents, but that person is too afraid to tell them. He continued by saying, "We care very much about the protection and welfare of our children. The minor attracted people we work with will live law-abiding lives and are similarly concerned about the well-being of children." And he commented that some of these people even have their own kids. Studies have shown that minor attracted people are common. Some minor attracted people need support in their quest for fulfilling law-abiding lives. Accurate information and mental health services that focus on their mental health needs are essential. Condemning young teenagers and adults solely for their feelings of attraction and promoting inaccurate stereotypes thrusts them into hiding. This leaves them hopeless and with nowhere to turn, and fails to protect children. The next paragraph is, last Wednesday's symposium in Baltimore addressed these and other problems as they relate to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, popularly called the DSM, of the American Psychiatric Association, also called the APA. The first of its kind meeting brought together 38 clinicians, researchers, academics, minor attracted persons, and other concerned people to work towards a more accurate and comprehensive DSM description of the attraction to minors that will benefit society, children, and minor attracted people. The symposium was held in the spirit of the APA's call for the involvement of a variety of perspectives, including those of minor attracted people, in the revision of the DSM. According to the American Psychiatric Association, revisions should involve research and experts from diverse perspectives, disciplines, and areas of expertise. It must be sensitive to the needs of clinicians, and their patients, and must be based on the input from the patients and family groups. Speakers and attendees included those who specialize in psychiatry, ethics, psychology, philosophy, and social work, as well as people who are attracted to children and or adolescents. We do not, and I'm talking about Before You Act organization here, we do not necessarily endorse the view of any of the participants at the symposium. However, the exchange of ideas that occurred was especially important in light of numerous unresolved issues regarding the proposed DSM revision that have been raised by scholars, researchers, and minor attracted people. And the person who sent this email to me is the director of operations. He's called Richard Kramer. I hope I got that pronunciation right. Now, we have seen the standpoint of the organization called Before You Act. And for those of you that would like to visit their web page, the web address is www.beforeyouact.org. Now, I did visit the website, and I tried to find out more about this group. And when I checked the About Us page, it talked about publicly promoting services and resources for self-identified individuals, which is inclusive of adults and adolescents who are sexually attracted to children and seek such assistance through education, outreach, communication, creativity, and initiative, and to educate mental health providers regarding the approaches helpful for such individuals. The group activities is still based in Maryland at the moment, but I expect an increase in the support of this for this movement. Now, I looked at their vision statement, and they said that they want to be a leader in the development of competent and specialized services and resources that will be sought by individuals, whether adults or adolescents, who are sexually attracted to children. Another thing that intrigued me about their website was their principles and perspective page. Now, they mentioned a couple of principles and perspectives that they hold as an organization, and they had a couple of them. I'll talk about them briefly. They talked about the development, and they said that we understand that the attraction to children or adolescents is both sexual and emotional, and that individuals do not choose to have these feelings. They went ahead to say that people who are attracted to minors, and that's minors, usually recognize their feelings in adolescence or young adulthood and feel that they are very different from other persons. Now, they moved on to talk about individuality, but I want us to note some key things in these principles I'm talking about now. Now, they have said that minor attracted people have a sexual and emotional attraction to children. So that's the first one. Now, the one about individuality, they said that they realized that other than their sexual and emotional feelings towards minors, minor attracted people do not have any particular characteristic in common. They vary as do all people, and it's inaccurate to claim that all or most minor attracted people have certain beliefs, personalities, exhibit psychopathology, or specific personality disorders. Now, if you don't know the meaning of psychopathology, it's a psychiatric term that is focused on the study of mental illness, mental distress, and abnormal or maladaptive behavior. So they are saying that it's wrong or it's inaccurate to believe or to claim that minor attracted persons are actually dangerous people or have some probably things like multiple personality disorders or other specific personality disorders or engage in particular behaviors which I believe is harmful to the children. And interestingly, they do not assume that minor attracted persons would abuse children. They do not believe that minor attracted persons are prone to deception or violence. Neither do they believe that their sexual feelings are more compulsive or uncontrollable than other people's. So they said that they see their clients as individuals, not as a category. And I guess they mean a category of people who cannot control their sexual feelings or urges, or who have a compulsive sexual behavior towards children. I know that some of you are beginning to form some opinions, and you are beginning to have your own stance, you know, your own stance and view on this matter. But before you make up your mind on all of this, like I said, if you visit their website, you would have a total and complete information about these things I'm talking about. Now they moved on to the next one, which is humanity, and they said that they believe that persons who are sexually attracted to children can be contributing members of their communities, and they deserve to be treated with respect. Well, that's for you to decide. They continued by saying that they would advocate the use of supportive therapeutic goals, assumptions, and approaches. And what I found very, very, I don't know how to put it now, but what I found very, very strange was what they said after that statement. And what they wrote here is that clients voluntarily seeking treatment should not be pressured or coerced into accepting treatment modalities that they find objectionable. Now, it talks about a minor attracted person who voluntarily can decide to seek treatment or not, and who also can dictate or can decide to use a particular treatment modality and decline on another. And you know, it begins to perplex me, because I felt that the mental practitioners were supposed to prefer, were supposed to tell these people what was best for them or what is in their best interest. But what I see here, it speaks otherwise, in my opinion. And then they went on to talk about the needs, and briefly they said that they recognize that, like all people, individuals who are attracted to minors sometimes want mental health services to deal with issues unrelated to their sexuality. And I don't know, for minor attracted persons who are maybe listening to the show today, I really want us to be honest with ourselves. Are you really trying to seek mental health service to deal with issues unrelated to your sexuality? Do you really think your attraction to children or your feelings of love and romance for children is okay, is normal? And are you really, sincerely, are you really looking for mental health services to deal with issues unrelated to your sexual feelings and attraction for children? That's up to you to answer. And then the next one is another perspective and principle, which they term confidentiality. And they said that they recognize the law requiring the report of illegal sexual behavior and plans for such behavior, but they do not require the reporting of feelings and desires. Well, that's true. apparently nobody knows what you are feeling except you say it out. So they are right there. And they said they appreciate the danger which could be posed to a client if his employer, family, friends, community, or anyone else found out about his sexual feelings. I think I also agree with that. And they have said, I think in the last statement in this particular principle, they said that the therapist of this persons should also provide the client, and that is the minor attracted person, with a clear statement of the cases under which illegal behavior, suspicion of such behavior, or plans for such behavior would have to be reported to the authorities. So I think here I began to see another part, you know, and he's saying that they are willing to report to the authorities if a minor attracted person actually acts out on his sexual or emotional attraction to a child. And that's really good. Now, they moved on to talk about stigma. And they said that they recognize the severe stigma directed against minor attracted people by the media, by politicians, by law enforcement officials, and by some mental health professionals. They are against the perpetuation of false stereotypes and the use of language that instills fear in the public. And I suppose some of such language would include a sexual predator or a pervert. They believe these things instills fear in the public, and I wonder why the public would not be afraid, you know, why the public would not be afraid, you know. And also they want the fear to get out of the public, and they also want these languages and this false stereotypes that fails to promote understanding and ignores the humanity of minor attracted people. So they're kind of saying that minor attracted people are people like you, who should be shown some understanding, whose emotional state should people should take an extra effort to comprehend, to tolerate, you know, them and their emotional status or their sexual preferences. If I am correct, I stand to be corrected. Though they realized, they realized that stigma and stereotypes force minor attracted people to remain in hiding and prevent those who could benefit from mental health services from receiving them. So I think what they're trying to propagate with the stigma part is to get minor attracted people to actually come out and feel free to express their feelings of emotional and sexual attraction to children without the fear of them being stigmatized or them being labeled as perverts or sexual predators. And also, you know, that will kind of make them more comfortable and make them feel safe in the society. There's a lot of things in this website. I challenge you and I implore you to please go and read up these things for yourselves and see the things you can learn about this group. Now, the last thing they said is the last principle and perspective is education. And they said that they have an obligation to offer and engage in continuing education and professional growth activities on an ongoing basis in order to promote and develop a more accurate understanding of individuals who are sexually attracted to minors and to improve services for them. and such activities should challenge the popular stereotypes rather than reinforce them and portray the full humanity of minor attracted people. So basically, in the principles and perspectives, it's all about recognizing minor attracted people as people who should be people who should be understood better, people who should be shown sympathy, people who they have admitted need help and should not be stigmatized for expressing their feelings of emotion and sexual attraction to children. I think that's what that is all about. And they talked about something in there's a particular page they call the fact sheet, and in that fact sheet, I was intrigued by the fourth paragraph, which states that no one chooses to be emotionally or sexually attracted to children or adolescents. The cause is unknown. In fact, the development of attraction to adults is not understood either. A large number of theories involving hormonal influences, genetics, evolutionary processes, negative socialization, poor parenting relationships, and childhood sexual experiences have been proposed, but most have not been tested scientifically, and none are supported by unreliable evidence. In particular, there is no evidence to support the common belief that attraction to children or adolescents in adulthood is due to childhood sexual abuse. So why I found that interesting is because I believe that many victims of child sexual abuse, you know, some of them were actually abused by adults who were also abused as children. And I keep saying that abuse begets abuse, but they are saying here that minor attracted persons who actually have some form of emotional or sexual attraction to children may not necessarily be abused, maybe sexually abused as children. That may not be the case. So that's what we have in the fact sheet. I would like to go on another break, and when we come back, we'll look at another interesting part of their website, which is the frequently asked questions. I'll be right back after this break. You're welcome back. At this juncture, we will be looking at the frequently asked questions segment on the webpage of the organization Before You Act. They have divided the frequently asked questions into two groups, one for the mental health professionals and one for the minor attracted person. So we'll look at some questions that is frequently asked by mental health professionals. And the first one is, what do you mean by a minor attracted person? and they responded by saying that this term refers to an adult who experiences feelings of preferential sexual attraction to children or adolescents under the age of consent. It also includes adolescents who have such feelings for younger children. And it's important to realize, they are the ones saying this now, that these sexual feelings are usually accompanied by the feelings of emotional attraction, similar to the romantic feelings that most adults have for each other. And I don't know what to say here. It sounds spooky, but that's what we have there. And the next question is, are you talking about pedophiles? And they responded by saying, yes, but not only pedophiles. They went ahead to say that the American Psychiatric Association defines a pedophile to be a person who is at least 16 years old and who is sexually attracted to prepubescent children and may have engaged in a sexual activity with that child, or feels distressed and disturbed by the feelings of attraction he or she has for children. And they say it also includes adults who are preferentially attracted to adolescents rather than the prepubescent children, and who may and may not have engaged in a sexual activity with them. And we're going to get to that aspect in the course of this program. I hope time will be able to permit us. And they ask a couple of other questions, like, aren't minor attracted people child molesters? And there was something intriguing that I found in the response here. And they said that non-criminological researchers note that many minor attracted people live within the law. And if this is true, then I think there's really a lot we need to learn about minor attracted people or pedophiles. And when they say they live within the law, they are trying to say that these people have been able to refrain themselves from acting out on their sexual impulses towards children or acting out on their sexual fantasies for children. And then the next question is, why have I never heard of a minor attracted person who hasn't interacted with minors sexually? And that's a very brilliant question, don't you think? Now, the response is, because of the extraordinary stigma, such people rarely let anyone know about their sexual feelings. They fear rejection and harassment from family, friends, employers, and their community. They rarely come forward to mental health professionals voluntarily because they are not sure if they can trust them to maintain confidence, focus on their mental health needs, or treat them with respect, compassion, and understanding. Only those who violate the law come to the attention of law enforcement authorities and therefore mental health professionals and the public. So basically what they are saying here is, for many of the sex offenders who have been referred to get therapy, they've had to violate the law at least once before they opted to get therapy. And they are also implying that many other people who are sexually attracted to children would rather not talk about it or seek help because of the stigma they may receive from people like you and me. And there are lots of other questions here, but let's just move on to the questions that will usually be asked by minor attracted people. Now, they are saying that a question here that is of interest to me is, why would a minor attracted person seek mental health services? And they responded by saying, like all people, they sometimes want mental health services to deal with issues or related to their sexuality. And guys, this is Bidemi talking now. I'm yet to come to grasp with this particular statement that minor attracted people or pedophiles would want mental health services to deal with issues or related to their sexuality. I just don't see how this can be. But let me continue in the response they gave. Now they continue by saying that these minor attracted people are reluctant to seek help because they feel they cannot be completely honest, and as a result of their sexuality. Some minor attracted people would seek services to help them deal with issues that result from the society's negative reactions to their sexual feelings. Others seek assistance and support in developing satisfying lives and relationships when living within the law. And I'm thinking somebody will be asking me or asking themselves, who are they developing a satisfying life and relationship with? Is it still with the children that they are so much attracted to? That's a question that we should ponder on. Now, another interesting question here is, if a minor attracted person should seek mental health service, does that mean that his or her attraction to minors is a sickness? Now, wait for the response you're about to hear. They say no. They are saying that your attraction to minors is not a sickness. They say no. They say they are trying to make services available to minor attracted people who want to work through issues unrelated to their sexuality. I really would like to know what these issues are specifically, you know. And also they say that they would want to make services available to minor attracted people to deal with the societal response to their sexual feelings, or to develop satisfying and productive lives while living within the law. They are not advocating treatment to change the sexual feeling. And one of the things spoken about, advocated for in that conference, was that pedophilia or minor attractions to minors by an adult or an adolescent is a type of sexual orientation. And I tell you, it's scary when I begin to think about some of these new things we want to begin to imbibe and allow and tolerate, you know. I say stigmatization and all for people who are attracted to children, it's not really the right approach. But tolerating their feelings and not getting help, I think that's in my opinion, I think that is probably not the right thing to do. Some of the questions we have here, so many other questions. One of the questions here is, I'm interested in therapy. Can you recommend a mental health professional where I live? And they went ahead to say they do not recommend particular professionals. Instead, they hope to give you some tools you can use to find a therapist who meets your needs. So what do you think about that? So the minor attracted person will be given tools to look for a therapist that can meet his or her needs. I don't know if that's the best approach or strategy, and if that person can make the best decision as to who the right therapist should be, but that's what they say. And they also say that they provide the minor attracted person with their principles and perspective of practice, as well as the list of questions, which is what I am talking about at the moment. So you can discuss these things with a potential therapist to help you decide whether he or she is right for you. And they believe that in these ways, they hope to empower both minor attracted people and mental health professionals to work together for the benefit of both. And I just cannot help wondering why the children are not involved or included in this equation. Why is that so? All right, we move on to some other questions. They said, can I get involved? Now who are the people involved in the Before You Act organization? And they said that this is an organization and it's a cooperative effort of minor attracted people and mental health professionals. So it's just for minor attracted people and mental health professionals, and no more and no less. So that's the much of the questions we can take at the moment. Now, there was this very interesting PowerPoint presentation that they had, and it talked about a lot of things. It talked about a lot of things, and I tell you guys, you need to see for yourself some of the information and statistics that they had in the PowerPoint presentation. And the title of that PowerPoint presentation is Only You, or Not Only You. I'll check and be sure which is which. And I really hope parents now would take out time and go through, you know, this website and see the group of academics, mental health professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, that and all of that, and sympathetic advocates who are beginning to embrace minor attraction, sexual and emotional attraction to children, and probably pedophilia as a form of sexual orientation, and as such, you know, decriminalize it. You know, subtly, it's done subtly, it's not done in an aggressive way, and at the same time trying to condition the mind of the society into accepting you know, this sexual preference, so to speak, as a way of life. Now, at this juncture, I would really want us to look at the PowerPoint presentation, but before I do that, I'd want us to go on another break. I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's been a while. I have done a show, you know, all by myself, and I guess I kind of lost track of time. This is the march I'll be able to take on the new face of pedophilia for today. Next week we'll continue, and I'll be able to talk about the PowerPoint presentation I wanted us to have some information on. But I implore parents and caregivers, please take out time to visit this website and see things for yourselves, so you can be more informed in decisions regarding the safety of your children. Now, one of the segments of the show, which is Angels on a Mission, and I really must apologize for not bringing the two other segments, which is On the Job Again and News on Breakout. I really apologize. Please forgive me. But I will be bringing to you Angels on a Mission, and I want to celebrate a local car dealership in Johnson City, Tennessee. And this car dealership has come to support CASA, which is the court-appointed special advocate of Northeast Tennessee. Now, CASA is a non-profit volunteer organization that recruits, trains, and supports community volunteers to advocate for children who are in the court system as a result of abuse or neglect. Now, more than $10,000 was raised by Remy Ford in Tri-Cities, Tri-Cities Nissan, Remy Ford, Green Staff Kia, Phil Backman, Toyota Friendship Hyundai, Bill Gatton Mazda, Acura of Johnson City, Chaparral, Carly Gregory, Champion Chevrolet, and this group were able to raise this amount of money to help abused and neglected children in that area. So I want to thank you guys. Forgive me if I didn't get the pronunciation of your names right. I'm just trying to create awareness about your work with respect to the children in your neighborhood. Thank you very much. We love you. And this is the end of the show. I really want to thank you for listening in today. I really like to hear from you with respect to what we have talked about today, and that is the new face of pedophilia. I'd like to know what you think. Please, let's work together to ensure that our children are protected from sexual abuse, irrespective of the motive or the person or the groups trying to perpetuate or protect the personalities of the abusers, so to speak. And I also would say that stigmatization of minor attracted people isn't the right thing. If there's one thing I've learned from this group called Before You Act, is that when we stigmatize them, we don't really get to know them until something very bad happens. Let's make the world a place that these people will be able to speak up and say they have these issues that they are dealing with, and let's see how we can help them get the needed therapy and mental health assistance, as the case may be. Thank you very much, guys. I really, really appreciate you, and God bless you. Bye.